Good evening, everyone. You're in the right place at the right time. This is Coast to Coast AM, blasting out of the Mojave Desert like a Scirocco, blazing across the land into your town, into your home, slamming into your radio like a supercharged nanoparticle of unobtainium. Greetings from the boldest, bawdiest, most outrageous city in the world, the planetary capital of sun, fun, sin, sex, and secrets, my not-so-humble hometown, Las Vegas, Nevada. My name is George Knapp, your occasional host, your designated driver of the airwaves, and moderator of tonight's upcoming cacophony of conversation. Glad to be back with you once again. Merry Christmas to you and yours. My thanks to all the Coast listeners who've been sending holiday greetings in, to those of us who are working the program tonight. We're happy to be here. For most of you, I think the holiday is essentially over. Ma's in her kerchief, you're in your cap. The house is a disaster area, a battlefield of shredded wrapping paper and discarded gift boxes, half-eaten cookies, strands of tinsel on the couch and the carpet. You know, somewhere under that mess, your cat's probably buried, and maybe a couple of kids are still missing. And was Santa good to you? Did you get the hottest, newest, biggest, brightest, whatchamacallit, the most desirable doohickey thing of a jig for Christmas? It's hot, it's shiny, it's 3D and 4G, with more computing power than the Apollo lander, the coolest present since Lincoln Logs and an Etch-a-Sketch, packing the nostalgic ambiance of a Davy Crockett coonskin cap or a Red Ryder BB gun, you know, the abject desirability of a Cabbage Patch Princess or Malibu Barbie. Maybe you're holding out for that Maserati of new cell phones with a built-in GPS or a Star Trek phaser or a mini transponder room capable of beaming you and Mr. Scott across the universe in a blink of an eye. Were you surprised when you ripped open the package and there it was? I am not going to get into that whole Christmas as crass commercialism stuff because, you know, no one wants to hear a lecture like that on Christmas night. And our country has been through so much in the past year. It's just nice for people to be with their loved ones in a warm place and to share the meaning of the season. Millions of people who spent last Christmas in their own homes are somewhere else this season. They've been battered and beaten by a brutal economy. They've lost their jobs, lost their homes to foreclosure. They've been battling banks and bill collectors, trying to do the right thing, hoping to hold on, even if it's only by their fingernails, feeling as if the deck is stacked, the game is rigged. Let me just say there's a lot of that going around this holiday season. If you still have a roof over your head and were able to spend quality time with your family and loved ones, whether you can afford the newest, biggest, brightest, whatever, then you truly should count your blessings because it's been a long, tough haul this past year for most Americans, and we're facing more of the same in the coming year. Here we are a year away from the end of the Mayan calendar that we've all heard so much about, especially on this program. A lot of people seem to think the world will end next December, a year from this week. I'm not among them. Others think maybe a new era is coming, something like an age of Aquarius or something like that, a new consciousness spreading out around the planet. Hate to be a wet blanket about that, but my guess is that 1 year from now, we'll be living in the same paradigm we're in right now, struggling with problems that seem beyond our ability to resolve, still divided and yelling at each other, griping about political differences that really don't mean a damn thing in the big picture, but differences that are so often manipulated and magnified by those for whom our divisions and disagreements are useful distractions. Let the rabble squabble and bicker and yell at each other while we back the armored truck up to the bank and unload once again. Sorry, I do get philosophical around the holidays, I guess. It's a time when a lot of us tend to take stock of where we are in our lives, where our country is, where we're headed. Wish I could say there's a light at the end of the tunnel, but I sure haven't seen one, not even a faint glimmer, not lately anyway. But, you know, hope springs eternal, right? Enough doom and gloom. Let's have some fun tonight. It's a time of year for thinking celestial thoughts, I think, for gazing skyward and wondering about the meaning of it all. My guest tonight will provide some of his own wrinkles in those large amorphous questions and issues, including the one biggie we've often tackled on this program. Are we alone? Who else is out there? What's the connection to us? What do they want? We've had more than our share of whistleblowers on Coast to Coast over the years of varying degrees of credibility. Ken Johnson has a track record that is easily followed. There is a paper trail there. He worked for NASA. There's no question about it. He was in a key position during the Apollo program. He managed the photo program for a time for NASA, which meant that all of those images from the moon missions came across his desk. He saw them before the cleansing process began. And what he saw in some of those snapshots blew him away. Ken Johnson alleges there is graphic and indisputable evidence that something alien is on the moon, that NASA is well aware of it, that the photos support this somewhat outrageous assertion, and that he was fired because he wouldn't shut up about it. If his story can be proven, it is blockbuster stuff. And it's a theme that has been explored on this program in the past, but tonight we hear it directly from the guy who was there on the inside. It took us a couple of months to get Ken to appear with us on the program. I am confident this will be an enlightening conversation. Ken Johnson joins me at the top of the next hour, and we will, as always, save time for you to ask some questions as well. Coming up a few minutes from now, we'll open up the phone lines to hear from you on this Christmas night, whatever's on your mind. I have a couple of suggestions, things we might kick around, but let's take our first break, then come back, chat about some news items, then go to the phones. Again, Merry Christmas to you and yours. Thanks so much for being with us tonight. I'm George Knapp, and this is Coast to Coast AM. Thanks so much for being with us tonight. I'm George Knapp. This is Coast to Coast AM. Our phone lines are open. I'll be chatting with you listeners in just a minute or so. A couple of news items to mention first, though. Our stalwart webmaster, Lex, is working the holiday shift tonight with me, and he and I once again put together a smattering of odds and ends in our Knapp's news section on the Coast website. Last Sunday, if you tuned in then, when I was hosting, we reported the death of North Korean leader Kim Jong-il, a name that, as many of you notice, I mispronounced like the knucklehead that I am. It looked as first as if Kim had died of a heart attack, but during his life, you know, nothing was really simple when it came to this guy or his country. Quite a bit of speculation this week now about whether he might have been murdered, either by his own military, which might not be happy with where he was headed, where the nation was headed policy-wise, or maybe even by his own son, who may have wanted to take over. We have an intriguing, if speculative, news story posted on this topic in the Knapp's news section there. I made a reference a couple of minutes ago to the foreclosure mess that's gripped our country. As some of you know, and I talked about this with a guest we had on last month, I've been working on this subject for the past few months as part of my day job for KLAS-TV here in Las Vegas. We put all of our research into an hour-long special, called it Desert Underwater. Las Vegas, of course, has been hit harder than just about anywhere. More than 130,000 families have lost their homes to foreclosure since this crisis began. And contrary to the big lie being spread by Wall Street bankers and their friends, who are at the heart of this devastation, these people, for the most part, are not deadbeats who did not deserve to own their homes in the first place. This is not the result of subprime loans being forced on the banks. This crisis is the result of reckless gambling by Wall Street bankers who made money hand over fist by selling these Frankenstein-like creations. They were selling things they didn't even know what they were, telling their investors, oh yeah, these are AAA-rated securities, safe as can be, the housing market can never go under, just buy, buy, buy. They pretended these things were valid and reliable, lied to their own clients, and it's a mess. I mean, they weren't valid and safe and reliable. Part of the program we compiled looked at the work of the Federal Commission that was created to investigate the causes of the meltdown. That commission puts the blame squarely at the feet of Wall Street. There were other contributing factors, of course, but it is overwhelmingly clear that the banks did this to us and are still doing it. The heartbreaking stories that I have heard here and from around the country of dirty tricks pulled by banks, lies that they have told about how, oh yeah, we're working with the homeowners, we'll modify your mortgage, don't you worry. And then they simply pull the rug out from under people who are struggling to do the right thing, literally kicking them out in the streets. And we were having an average of 300 foreclosure evictions every single day here in Las Vegas. It's down to about half of that now, but still it's many times higher than the national average. Families wiped out. Everything they have, gone. Many of them are so enwrapped by despair that they take their own lives. They've taken the lives of other people in their families. Businesses have folded. The business bankruptcies here in Las Vegas up 170%. Major multi-million dollar projects canceled. And it's not over yet. If you're interested in learning more about the consequences and causes of this disaster, I have a link to this program, Desert Underwater. Not something you want to watch now. It's like an hour long, so we want you to listen to this program. But maybe if you want to learn more about it, carve out some time later in the week. You want to get an earful about this subject because, as mentioned, you know, our country has a long way to go in this. And there is more afoot at the national level, a move to let the banks off the hook, to give them a get-out-of-jail-free card, to stop all criminal inquiries, let the banks pay some money, and then get back to business as usual, as if it didn't happen. You know, the American people, I think, should scream to high heaven about this, is because if these banks are allowed to get away with it this time, or I should say again, because they've done it before, they'll do it again. And the next time, the damage will be even worse when the next bubble bursts. Other items there on the Coast website, animal rights activists, are they terrorists? If you take a camera inside a meat plant, for example, and you record video of abuse or violations of the law, you might have the Joint Terrorism Task Force banging at your door. Also, on the NAPS news section, a couple of UFO-related stories I think you'd find of interest. I did hear from one of the Coast listeners who saw something weird in the sky Christmas Eve. Doesn't want his name used, but the letter he wrote to me says, "Hi, Coast to Coast. Was wondering if you had any UFO reporting from last night between 9:30 and 11:15 p.m. Saw it while outside in Green Valley, Arizona. It flew right over me at 15,000 feet, traveling no faster than a jet circling to land. It was certainly in no hurry. In fact, I watched it for a couple of minutes. At first, I thought it was a helicopter. As it neared closer, I realized it wasn't. It was triangular in shape with rounded edges, had only orange-colored lights which flickered and glowed and appeared to have wings with a mesh-like, almost transparent appearance. No sound. A commercial jet estimated at 30,000 feet flew toward it and over it. There was no way the pilots could not have seen this thing. Also, it did not travel in a straight line with somewhat a consistent speed typical of a jet. Movements to left and right, forwards and backwards were short and very subtle. This is the first time I've seen anything odd in the sky. I was very apprehensive about reporting it," he says. The only reason he contacted us is to see if any other listeners witnessed the same thing. So we're going to be opening up the phone lines. You can tell me if you saw it or not. Also, anyone out there know anything about this? We've got a couple of folks who sent me a link to a story about an odd streak of light seen Christmas Eve over Germany and several other European countries. It was carried on the Huffington Post. I've seen the video. Kind of looks like a meteor or space junk, but it's pretty cool video. I think Lex has that, and we might put it up there for you to see if you have not seen it. Going to go now to the phone lines. Jeff in St. Louis, east of the Rockies. Hi, Jeff. Merry Christmas to you.
To you, you know, with those UFO reports real quick.
Yeah.
I was wondering if anyone saw any blue police boxes this year.
Any what?
Blue police boxes.
What do you mean?
Doctor Who reference. I was trying to make a joke.
Oh, okay. All right.
But anyway, my comment is about the this news I saw this morning before I left for the Christmas, all the Christmas stuff we do on the family stuff, that the U.S. District Court in New York said that Iran has some connection to the 9/11 attacks. Have you heard anything about that yet?
I think I read the same story you did. I think the evidence is a little bit specious now. I get suspicious about things that are coming out that make us want to invade Iran right now. Are you saying Iran or Iraq?
I'm sorry. I don't think this is about one court decision does not make an invasion. I think this is more about restitution for 9/11 families.
Well, I would have to see the evidence. I mean, I'm interested in it, and if it's solid, then they should pay. I don't know what leverage we would use to make them pay. We've put them in sort of an economic box as it is. We've done pretty much everything we can short of invading them or bombing them.
Like I said, the way this is sounding up to be more about reparations than an invasion, because like I said before, one decision by a court in the U.S. does not justify an invasion from a country to a country.
Well, I would agree with you, but if you look at it in a context of let's just add one little piece, one more little chip to the pile as a reason to do something, there's a lot of folks clamoring to invade or bomb Iran. I don't know. I'm suspicious of anything I hear from our government.
Well, would have helped out those protest students in 2009 because how he stole the election over there. We probably wouldn't be facing this possibility now.
Well, I don't disagree with you. And if maybe if we hadn't overthrown a fairly elected government much many years ago, we wouldn't be facing this problem either. We supported a despotic regime, the Shah, for a long time. And, you know, it's not exactly a mystery why the Iranian, or at least parts of the Iranian government, are angry about us. I'm not sure the Iranian people hate Americans as much as we're led to believe they do.
The students were asking, where was the U.S. during the protest?
I wish I had an answer for you.
No, there were signs in English saying, where's the U.S.?
Yeah, right. I'm with you.
By the way, I'm a first-time caller to you, but not to Coast to Coast, just to your when you're on.
Well, thank you, Jeff. I appreciate your call. Merry Christmas to you. Going west of the Rockies now, Daniel in Yucaipa, California. Hi, Daniel.
Well, how's it going, Mr. Knapp?
Okay, what's on your mind?
Well, I got a couple things to mention. On the Mayan calendar, there was an expert on Coast to Coast there several months ago that said they didn't do the math right, and it doesn't actually expire December 21st, 2012. By doing the math correctly, he says it expires sometime in September of 2015.
Well, it buys us a little time then, huh?
And I heard on good authority that the Book of Revelations has been ongoing for several years now, and that the rescue, what they call the rapture, actually happens at the last trumpet, which would be the seventh trumpet in the Book of Revelations. And another event goes along with that at the seventh trumpet, the great earthquake, which crumbles every city on the planet all at the same time. And no mountains or islands could be found. That also happens at the seventh trumpet. And the way things are going, the next trumpet that blows could be the seventh. Hal Lindsey thinks that the terminal generation started in 1948 when Israel became a nation again. But he was worried about it being a 40-year thing. But the Bible says a lifespan is 70, which would be 70 years. If you add 70 years to 1948, you get 2018. So we're in the ballpark of big end-time events, Mr. Knapp, sir.
Well, I don't disagree with you. I would just point out that there have been end-of-the-world revelations and predictions for an awfully long time. They come and they go, and the world is still here. I always find it interesting, Daniel, that people get really mad at you when you disagree with them that the world is going to end, as if, hey, I want to be right. I want the world to end so I can be correct.
You know what? We've never had such perilous times as is happening now. The world is being exterminated by the insiders through various forms of genocide. And Russia alone has at least 10 particle beam bases on the moon. 7 on the front side with 3 separate backup bases on the back side. And they've been mass-producing hovering platforms called cosmospheres that work on a form of anti-gravity called electrogravitics. If you was to see one, you would think it was a UFO. Those are all manned with particle beam energy ray weapons. They use that for weather control. They are using weather as a weapon of mass destruction, Mr. Knapp, sir.
Why do you suppose our government wouldn't say something? Surely we have to know about it. We'd have to see them. Why don't we say, hey, Russians, what are you doing on the moon?
Well, see, the problem with our government is the United States of America no longer exists. Jimmy Carter surrendered the United States of America to Russia on their terms, according to JFK's man that revealed this intel. If you want to look him up on the internet, his 82 intelligence newsletters he put out before they induced a heart attack in him and killed him off for spilling too many beans would be worth a look. See, anybody's interested can go to the internet and type up his name, Dr. Peter. Last name is B-E-T-E-R, Peter Beter. Yes, it rhymes. But he worked for JFK in the Export-Import Bank. He was a lawyer and a financial and legal consultant, a member of the Judicature Society.
So he says that we surrendered during Jimmy Carter. We surrendered to the Russians. The Russians took over. And then Russia collapsed? The USSR collapsed? Hey, Daniel, I appreciate it. The music is telling me we need to go to a break. I appreciate the call. There was a lot of stuff packed into that call. I wish we could address it all. We'll go back to the phone lines after this song. I think it's the Police. Yeah, it's the Police. Stay with us here, everyone, on Coast to Coast AM. Listen, if you're like me, you probably see the lineup of Coast to Coast shows and you think, man, I'd like to listen to that show. I love that topic, but I can't stay up. I've got to get up in the morning and go to work. So I would suggest you think about the StreamLink service that we've talked about on this program. We now have called it the Coast Insiders Club. For less than 25 cents a day, you sign up for this thing. You have access to more than 1,000 programs that you can instantly download or collect. You can even listen to it live on your phone or your MP3 player. It's a great way for you to keep up with everything that goes on Coast to Coast without losing a whole lot of sleep or getting fired. You might want to check that out. When we come back, we go right back to the phones with many of your calls. And then at the top of the hour, Ken Johnson, ex-NASA photo manager, to talk about a monstrous cover-up. Stay with us on Coast to Coast AM. Merry Christmas to you and yours. I'm George Knapp. This is Coast to Coast AM. Back to the phone lines. First-time caller, Shayna in Ohio. Good morning, Shayna.
Hi.
Hi. What's on your mind?
Well, I was calling in to see if you could do me a favor.
What do you need?
My dad has been missing since Thursday morning, and he left with his camper and some clothes and his radio, and we know that he listens to this radio station every night.
So he's a regular Coast listener?
Yes.
Do you have any reason to suspect foul play, or he's just out of contact?
Just out of contact. He doesn't carry a cell phone on him. We haven't heard anything from him. He didn't mention to anyone that he was leaving. His wife kissed him goodbye Thursday morning, and she came back a couple hours later from a doctor's appointment, and he was gone.
Does this happen? Does he just take off and go camping kind of a thing?
Sometimes he's spontaneous, don't get me wrong, but he usually leaves a note and lets somebody know where he's going to be.
What's his name?
His name is Dave D'Angelo.
And you live where in Ohio?
Union, Ohio.
And what part of the state's that in?
It's in the southwest.
So he would, you haven't heard from him since Thursday. Have you called the police?
We have. And just as of this morning, it's considered missing persons. They can't do much because he is an adult, so it's not illegal for him to leave.
Sure, I understand. Well, Shayna's dad, if you're out there listening to this program, you need to call home. Your family's worried about you. Shayna, I hope this creates a result for you that's favorable, and we'll see what comes in. Okay. Anything else to add?
No.
That might. Okay.
That's it. Just that if he's listening, we miss you and we want to hear from you.
Okay. Thanks. We're glad to have helped you. Bye. Wildcard line, Bob in Orlando. Hi, Bob.
Hey, how you doing?
Okay.
I was asking what a Scirocco was. I think when I think of Scirocco, I think of a V.
Yeah, it's a hot desert wind.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and the VW people took it from that term. It's a pretty cool word.
Yeah, that's a cool word. It just reminds me of the car, and then I think of the Dasher and the Rabbit and the Bug.
I hope I answered your question. Thanks for the call.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, Dave in Altoona, Pennsylvania. Hi, Dave.
Yes. How are you?
Okay. Merry Christmas. What's on your mind?
Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to you.
Same to you.
Well, the first thing, I want to throw a couple things out there. The very first thing is, done some segments before about the dusting, from the jet airplanes throughout the atmosphere, and you can see some of it, trails and things. I have a friend who's a microbiologist. And he first started looking into what was there's been an airborne blight with a lot of vegetables and fruits that are being grown in Pennsylvania. And he did a lot of research into why the blight was killing not the genetically modified, but the organically grown vegetables in Pennsylvania. Maybe it's nationwide, I don't know, but certainly dealing with what we know about here in Pennsylvania. And he has, and from listening to some of your segments that you've had on recently about the large seed companies trying to monopolize all of the seed growing. I believe your guest said a few weeks ago that they were up to 90% of all the seeds that were being produced were GMO, genetically modified. And the what he has looked into and is believing is that some, not all, but some of the dusting that has been going on is an attempt to destroy the remaining 10% of the organically grown vegetables. And what we were asking for is maybe somebody who maybe had some more resources than what we have available to try and, you know, look into that and see if that was, in fact, what was going on or not.
Well, it's worth tossing out there. I'll tell you, I'm interested in the whole chemtrail conspiracy story and looked into it a couple of years ago. I think the evidence is weak. It's interesting. It's intriguing. We all see those patterns in the sky and wonder what the heck is going on. And I've heard the allegations that people get sick. There are these waves of sickness associated with it. But association is as close as it gets.
There's different types of spraying that's been talked about and come to light. There's not all of the dusting and spraying has been for the same reason.
Well, I think it's a tall order, as powerful as companies like Monsanto are, that they could carry out a program like this over a large part of the. I'm sorry.
They do, and it's just like Jesse Ventura said, if you want to know who is responsible, follow the money.
Well, I agree that following the money is a good strategy, but I would just caution you that I think it is a tall order to say that Monsanto or any kind of seed company can carry out a nationwide aerial spray program and get away with it. I think that somewhere along the line, somebody associated with this kind of thing would come forward and talk about it. A whistleblower, that's what I've been waiting for in the larger chemtrail story, is for somebody to say, yeah, I was part of that program. I was involved in it. We were spraying this stuff. I also think it's I don't put anything past these companies that have controlled seeds, genetically modified seeds. I think the 90% control is maybe a little bit exaggerated. Maybe it's true for some particular crops like soybeans, but I don't think it's true for everything. But it's a tall order to me. It's a lot to swallow that a company, a private company, could carry this out without somebody knowing about it. I'm not saying it's impossible. I'm just saying I'd have to see some proof of it.
Yeah. Are you aware of the airborne blight that has penetrated at least the state of Pennsylvania for the past 2 years?
No, I haven't heard about that before. And you're saying it only kills organically grown plants, not genetically modified plants?
The genetically modified, which has, basically its own insecticide inside of it, its own repellent of diseases and things of that nature not only the diseases, but insects and all things of that nature. And that's what it is. And they've done no testing on it at all. They just did it. You know, this is the way we're going to do it now.
Wow. I'd be really curious, Dave, if any of the media folks, local media in Pennsylvania, have covered this, whether there have been newspaper stories or TV stories.
Been on the blight. Absolutely. Yeah. It's been going on for 2 years. Totally wiped out just about every organically grown, primarily tomatoes, that could be grown.
Well, you got some of the best tomatoes in anywhere back there. I know I was born in New Jersey, and Jersey tomatoes, like Pennsylvania tomatoes, really good stuff. Can't get them out here in the West. But I would be really interested if you would forward any news articles, links to that, that you can send to me, and then I'll pass them along to the Coast listeners. I'm very interested in that. Would you do that?
It's been talked about through all the small growers. You know, all the small growers know all about it. Maybe not everything, no, but they know the effect. It's just that, you know, their gardens were just totally wiped out. The investigation right away went to airborne. It's all been airborne, but my friend who is a microbiologist has his indications is everything that he has been able to turn up has pointed towards spraying.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what, send me some links. I'll take a look at it. I'd like to know more. As I said, I'm interested in that whole chemtrail conspiracy story. I just haven't seen a whole lot of really solid evidence, but I could be proven. I'm not taking a position on it one way or another, but I'd like to know more. Thanks, Dave. Appreciate the call. Cornelius in Louisiana. Hi, Cornelius. How you doing?
Hey, George. God bless y'all, and Merry Christmas to all the Coast to Coast listeners and viewers. And I wanted to thank y'all and thank Gina. My mom's been dying of cancer, and through the power of prayer on the Coast to Coast website, that's been helping her out. And I wanted to bring up this thing with Iran. They are moving ships into the Strait of Hormuz and saying they're going to have some type of exercise, and that could lead to something. So I just wanted to hear your opinion on it. I'll take my answer off the air. God bless you, George.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for calling. Merry Christmas to you. I don't know. I get nervous about this. I mean, there are elements in our government and our military that want to go to war. There are vested interests who have their fingers in Congress that want to go to war. And they're looking for a reason to go after Iran. And after what happened to us in Iraq, the lies that we were told about Iraq and the reasons we had to go in there that turned out to be bogus. I don't know. I take all this stuff with a grain of salt. And we see what happened there, the 10 years that it took, the thousands of American lives, tens of thousands of Iraqi lives. You can say, you can argue whether it was a good idea or not, looking back at the results. I don't know. I'm highly suspicious of our intentions toward Iran. Not saying that the Iranians are good folks. Their government is pretty messed up, and they played it pretty poorly. Terms of international relations and how they get along with us and how they get along with the rest of the world and their intention to thumb their noses at the rest of the civilized world. But if there's a reason to go to war with Iran, I have yet to see it. And I agree with you, Cornelius, that putting those maneuvers in there is just begging for trouble. Appreciate the call. Fred in Michigan on the wild card line. Hi, Fred. How you doing?
Thank you, George. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you.
Thank you. Oh, Smedley Butler did say war is racketeering, and historically, throughout this history, in fact, the War of 1812 occurred, as I was informed, because I think it was Jefferson and the Patriotic Congress who refused to renew the charter of the First Bank of the United States, which I think is the Rothschild crime family operating. And so they said, well, we're going to stick it to you if you're not going to renew our charter. So that was the War of 1812. So historically, this is what they do. And, okay, so the reason I called, and you mentioned the whistleblowers about chemtrails.
Yes.
There's a clue to that. The answer, George, I think, is revealed by David Wilcock, who George brought on a couple Thursdays ago, because there's this $1 trillion legal action.
Oh, yeah, I read about that. Yeah.
Okay, so
Tell us about it, though. Explain it.
It's quite possible there are would-be whistleblowers who are just, in fear of their lives and their family. On a positive note, we hear about all this doom and gloom. I actually want to off-air, because I'm sure you wouldn't want me to divulge the company, but I utilize some rather amazing nutraceutic mushrooms. And 2 years ago, I suffered a sudden cardiac failure event, and it was totally miraculous how I was able to circumvent that. And then it happened again. A year later, about 11 months later, and the same thing happened. And
Did you say nutraceutic? I don't know what that means. Nutraceutic?
Nutraceutic mushrooms, as opposed to psychotropic mushrooms.
Right.
And I don't want to. It's probably not now. May not be the time to get into that. But I want to give to Gina the name of the company so that you can investigate it for your own. Because I really think your voice is like the Aurora Borealis of talk show hosts. I really enjoy hearing your voice and how you interview people. You are very, very kind and considerate. And I kind of like to reward people whenever I can. So based on my real-world experiences in being blessed and having been able to circumvent these two cardiac failure events, in my own case, I'd like to share that with Gina so she can pass it on to you if that's possible.
Okay, Fred, I'll take a look at it. And you hang in there. Hope you're doing okay. And Merry Christmas to you. Thanks for calling. We're going to go to JJ in Orlando. JJ, we got a couple of minutes so before the break, so want to jump right into it. How you doing?
Okay, great, George. Thanks so much for taking my call.
Sure.
Longtime listener and former Las Vegas resident and radio broadcaster.
Okay.
I am a big fan of yours as well, and I wanted to share with your listeners, in case anybody else may have seen this, I experienced a sighting of a UFO on 11-1-11. And over my home in just north of Orlando, and it was an orange orb, and it had no sound, and it met all the criteria for being a UFO, other than the fact that I couldn't see what it was, other than a big orange glow. And it was guided, it was going north to south across the equator. It wasn't a plane for sure. There was no sound. And I looked it up on the internet. I wasn't able to find sightings that night. But since then, possibly people have seen it and have come forward. And it was about a four-minute sighting from the back of my home all the way to the front and then 5 or 6 miles down the road. I anticipated that it would disappear faster, but it was such a slow-moving object and silent that I was surprised. I didn't want to grab a camera. I didn't even think about it. All I wanted to do was keep my eyes on it. And it was definitely just the eeriest thing that I've ever experienced. And I did check on the internet, and a lot of people have seen orange orbs in Florida. However, not that day.
Any other witnesses? No other witnesses then?
No, most of the people, my neighbors, did not see it because a lot of people don't sit out as often as I do. I sit on the back porch a lot, and I saw it coming toward me. I thought it was a plane on fire, but it just was quiet, silent, and very, very guided. You know, it wasn't a falling object. It wasn't something like space junk on fire. This was about a four-minute sighting until it was a pinhole of orange. I watched that. And
I get it.
I just wanted to put it out there in case anybody else might have seen that.
JJ, I get a lot of calls and emails from around the country, as you might imagine, people who see strange things in the sky. And I always recommend that they contact the National UFO Reporting Center. There's a guy named Peter Davenport, who's been George's guest a couple of times on the show. And is, you know, if you have not made a report, you know, you want to add that to the database. Chances are, if you were to go there, you might find other people who reported the same thing. Have you been there?
I did go there. Yes, I did. And I checked out almost every single orange orb sighting. And a lot of them were April of this year to current day. And they were here in Florida, South Florida mostly, multiple sightings. And they were in the Denver, Colorado area as well. But those are the two places that were explained to be more hotspot for that particular type of sighting.
Well, your state has a long, rich, and varied history of UFO sightings. Of course, the Gulf Breeze stuff years ago, but all over the state. It's traditionally Florida is one of the highest incident UFO areas in the country.
Right, right. I thought it was weird that it was 11-1-11. 1-1-1-1-1.
You ever seen one before? Ever seen one before?
In the 60s. But nothing like this.
Nothing like this.
This close. Right. This was close. This is probably 2,000 feet over the ground.
Couldn't be a flare, right? Because it's orange. A lot of people who see orange lights, it turns out to be flares.
Right. No, this was definitely flying from north to south, and it was slow, guided, and on a track. You know,
JJ, I appreciate your call. Merry Christmas to you. Merry Christmas to all of our callers. We're going to come back with Ken Johnson of NASA, the former photo manager, to tell us about some amazing photos he saw on the inside and why he paid a price for talking about them. Loggins and Messina from back in 1974, Angry Eyes, taking us into the break.